I did want to give a shout out to the last Sunday was our African attire, so we did have some ladies and men that was dressed up. So again, I always say that we should never forget where we come from. Now again, I don't want to exalt blackness in the Bible like the other people miss. I just want to teach what the Bible teaches. And again, we know that Jesus was a Jew. We don't know the color of the skin, but we want to say that we need to remember our culture, our different nationalities and stuff like that. Amen? Amen. Also, I want to shout out to the women for the, my wife talked about the Friday night prayer service. And also last Wednesday, we talked a little bit about prayer. Jerry preached on prayer last Sunday. We talked about prayer on Wednesday. And then Sunday night, we kind of went a little deeper on prayer. I think I shared with you all those that wasn't here that major airports today have prayer room today, but we have used that and we've changed that from where it used to be a Christian prayer to anybody can pray. But we want to stay with the prayer was, again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So really, the only prayer that gets to God is the Christian prayer. Amen? So we're still in the teaching on the book of Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been talking about walking worthy. Walking worthy of your vocation. Again, your talk ought to line up with your walk. If we say a Christian, then you ought to live like a Christian. The problem with the world is they can't tell the Christians from the lost people. They can't tell the Christian from the hypocrites. So we need to live a Christian life responsibly according to the word of God. Walking worthy means walking pleasing to God. Mean walking in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mean walking appropriately, being responsible for the way I live. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. This is a Bible-believing church, so you have to follow me in the Word of God. It's not my philosophy and my opinion, but it just does what said the Word of God. So we're going to start at verse 17. We already covered the gift to the church, and then we're going to jump down to verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. This is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. In the what? Vanity of your mind. So Paul is challenging the church. Don't walk like the Gentiles. And we're going to look at that. Turn to verse 20. It said, but ye have not so learned Christ. Read verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I read 22. That ye put off. This is what we're going to talk about today. Putting off and putting on concerning the former conversation or lifestyle. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23. And that ye put on, we'll be talking about that, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Paul is giving some different characteristics of a lost person versus a saved person. Verse 25, he said we need to stop lying and we need to stop being angry. And we need to stop stealing. And we need to stop cursing. So he's given these things. Now, a lot of people get caught up and they say, well, you know, Christian is all legalism. Well, let me just tell you, it's not about legalism. It's about pleasing the Lord. Okay. So I'm a Christian because I want to please. I want my life to please the Lord. So it's not about what things I cannot do, but it's about the things that I do that glorify the Lord. Amen. So I want to talk to you briefly about, are you walking right according to the vocation that you've been called today? Are you putting on the right stuff and putting off the wrong stuff? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for this first Sunday in March. Thank you for the break in the weather. I think it's going to be a little 59 degrees, a little bit warm today, but then we know the rain is setting back in. So we pray that you would protect those that were getting flooding and help the people to hold back the water on the dam. Just pray that you would work things out during the flooding. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson today that we had this morning. Talked about that you was going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses. Thank you, Lord, for raising up Moses. And thank you for raising up Jesus Christ. Thank you for, again, an opening prayer by Jerry, about Deacon Jennings. Thank you for, again, our time of testimonies, our time of giving our praises to the Lord. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for recognizing birthdays, anniversaries, and our fellowship song. Thank you for, again, the offering that Gio took up. And then thank you for the last songs of the praise team. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony, and I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me my sins, that help me to rightly divide the word of truth, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. How are you walking? Are you walking like a Christian? How are you living? Are you living like a Christian? In 2015, we had what we call the automobile industry bailout. President Obama and the Congress issued a stimulus package for GM, Ford, and Chrysler to realize the market they was losing, and he wanted to get them back into the market. Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross, and he shed his blood, and he issued a stimulus package for you and me that correspond with the new you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I know you know it, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are come new. So Jesus is saying that, look, I'm giving you a stimulation. I'm giving you a shot in the arm. Everybody hearing about the coronavirus and all the flu, but you can go get a flu shot or you can go get vaccinated. The issue is Jesus Christ has gave us everything that we need to live a Christian life. Amen? You shouldn't be living like the old man. That old man ought to be dead. But we got a lot of Christians that are stumbling people, and they're living like an old man. They're living like they lost. And so people can't tell the difference between a Christian and a lost person, and even preachers. I mean, one time I went to the doctor, and I said, I'm a preacher. They said, well, do you drink, smoke, and then you run around? I said, I'm a preacher. What'd that mean? So that don't mean anything today. So you need to live a life conducive to Christian living. Amen? Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. By the way, your body don't belong to you. If you're a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you can't do it with your body that you want to do. And then he said, be ye transformed, but be ye by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what's good, acceptable, and pleasing will of God. So we need to be transformed. Back in our verse, it talks about verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So God wants us to have a mind to please God. Y'all want to know where sin starts? Y'all want to know where the Satan hits you in the mind? Y'all want to know where adultery starts in the mind? Y'all want to know where cussing out people starts in the mind? God said, renew your mind. Stop letting the devil bring all your thoughts into compliance with the word of God. Don't let the devil get the devil works at the psyche. We just talked about this morning in our Sunday school, how the TV and the social media and all the Twitter and the internet and Facebook get into people's mind. Don't get caught up into that mind stuff. Put your mind, like they say, put your face in the book. Now, I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm talking about the Bible. Amen. We need to get into the word of God. Amen. We're going to talk about 3 points today on how we need to put off and put on. The word put off means to take off. I'll give you a good analogy. Sister Russell can identify with this. When you get ready to go and to work in the yard, you usually put on some dirty clothes or some clothes that are going to get oil and soil, and you put on some clothes that you don't put on your nice stuff. You put on different type of clothes, right? Now, you get ready to go to Sister Russell's birthday party, you put on some nice clothes. So you don't put on your overalls and your gloves and you put on some nice. So it's the same principle. We need to put off that old clothes as a Christian and put on the new clothes. Amen? Put on the garment. Now, we have a reverse principle in the Word of God with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, became poor so that we would come rich. Jesus Christ had the new man. He had on the royalty. He had on the tunic. He had on, but he put off his clothes and put on the old garments that we had on. He put on my sins and my iniquities. So we need to learn how to put on Jesus' robe. If Jesus died for me, then the least that I could do is to live for him. Amen? So we're going to give you 3 points today on putting off and putting on. Okay? Adam and Eve, it goes all the way back. Point number one. Adam had to put off those fig leaves and put on some skins, some garments of skin. What happened was Adam had the glory of God. Adam walked with God. Adam talked with God. God gave him a commandment. God said, Adam, of every tree of the garden, you must freely eat. But there's one tree over here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat from. Amen? What did Adam do? Like you and me, he sinned. He chose to eat from the tree that God told him not to eat. Now, him and his wife, again, a lot of people want to blame Eve, but it was Adam's fault. Adam didn't have to listen to Eve. Eve gave the fruit to Adam, but Adam could have denied the fruit. Amen? Are y'all listening to me? Where was the woman? No, it wasn't the woman. It was you. You know, we have a tendency to point the blame on people. You know, the reason I don't go to church because of service, no, that ain't no excuse. The reason I don't cause my job, I ain't got no excuse. The problem is you. You can do what you want to do. Amen? So Adam and Eve did what? They sowed together some fig leaves. I don't know if y'all ever seen a fig tree, but they don't have no big leaves. And they put some leaves around them. And God came looking for Adam. And he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam hid in the garden. Y'all with me? And the Lord said, Adam, what? Now, by the way, God knew where he was. He was just trying to get him to confess up. He said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I hid myself because I was naked. Y'all remember the story? And God said, well, who told you you were naked? You didn't know you were naked before. Have you eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Mind, the devil's a trickster. The devil told Adam, say, now when you, God don't want you to eat from the tree because you'll become like him, God's. Now he told him a part lie because he did learn good from evil, but he didn't come like God. He did learn the difference. And then he told Adam, say, well, you can't wear that. So you're going to have to take off those leaves and put on. God killed an innocent animal and made some clothes for Adam. Y'all with me? So he put off the fig leaves and put on the garments. So that's a picture. The fig leaf was a picture of shame and disgrace and humiliation. He was shamed. He was humiliated. And he was his grace. God gave him some coats of skin, which is a picture of honor, no shame, and proud. So God wants us to put off and put on. The Bible says, again, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound. Adam was afraid because he knew he had sinned. So he had on them old clothes. God said, I didn't give you that fear, Adam. I gave you power. So God had to take them fig leaves off and put him on some clothes. Y'all with me today? God said he blotted out all the handwritings of ordinance that was against him. Ephesians say he descended. We already talked about that. And he led captivity captive. So Adam had to put off guilt, blame, and fault and put on innocence. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of condemnation. Therefore, they announced there's no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus. So we need to learn how to put off shame, put off guilt. We need to put off rejection. He was rejected from God. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:6 that he has made us accepted in the beloved. You want to know why I'm accepted? Because of what Jesus did. Jesus took his garment of righteousness and put it on me. I'm supposed to take all my sins and put them off and put on the righteousness of Christ. So Adam was the first example that we had in the scripture. The second example that we have in the scripture is Esau and Jacob. We got two brothers. Then we got Joseph and his 10 brothers. Esau was the firstborn. They came out as twins. They were fraternal twins. Y'all remember the story. When Esau came out of the womb, when they brought Jacob out behind him, he was a twin, he had his hand on Esau's heel. Y'all remember that? He was already trying to steal the blessing. Then he stole his birthright for a bowl of soup. Y'all remember the story? And then he stole his blessing. Well, what happened in there? Jacob all his life had on those old man clothes of shame. He wanted to be the firstborn. He wanted to be the blessing. So what his mother told him to do, say, what I need you to do, I need you to go and get some of your brother's clothes. And then she took some, here it is, some coats, some skin from animal, from a goat skin, and put on his hands, because he said his brother was hairy. Y'all remember that? And put on his neck. And so Isaac got food because he thought it was his son Esau, but his son Jacob. So here's a picture, putting off, putting on. Jacob, even though he was a deceiver, he was supposed to put off that shame and rejection, and he put on those goat skins, and he was accepted. And then we have Joseph. Joseph's daddy made him a coat of many colors. Y'all know the story. But his brothers took that coat off Joseph and put Joseph in a pit. And then some Israelites came down and they sold Joseph into slavery. And then they took the coat and took some blood of a goat and put on the coat and sent it back to their father. So here's a picture of putting on and putting off. He took off his coat of many colors, which was the new man, and he ended up going down into jail, which is the old man. It was a picture of Christ. So we need to learn, if we go back to Ephesians, it says, put off lying. It says, speak the truth with every neighbor, for we are members of one another. And put off being angry and sin not. You know, some of us have a bad attitude. We need to not be angry. A lot of things not going to go right, but don't get angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. If there any way possible, live peaceful with all men. If you got an ought with your brother, go to him. You got an ought with your sister, you got an ought with your husband, your wife, go to him. Don't be angry. The Bible says, learn how to forgive. Amen? Put off that line. Put off that anger. And then the Bible says right here, let him that steal no more. Learn how to work. You know, we're living in a culture today where we don't want to work. We want to have, I think they call it, we think we are a society that you're supposed to give me stuff. No, you need to learn how to work. You need to, if you want to have a nice car, you want to have a nice home, you want to have nice clothes, you need to learn how to work. You don't get it by somebody handing it down. You need to learn how to work. So the Bible says, don't steal. I don't know what you know or not, but there's a lot of stealing going on today. People steal cars. People steal furniture. I mean, most of y'all got Facebook and they have people go in and put a whole TV up under their dress. Y'all seen that, right? People steal a whole flat TV. People steal. The Bible says, stop stealing. We steal everything. We steal money out of people's purse. We steal money out of, you know, we done got very clever now. When you steal from people, you don't take all their money because they know you take it. You just take $20. You know what I'm talking about? So we got to a situation where we steal. The Bible says, stop stealing. Learn how to put off the old man. And look what it says. But let him labor, work, working with his hands, those things which are good that may have to give to him that need it. None of us should hate to go to work. You should love to work. God gave Adam a job. In the beginning, he had to tend the garden. So working is a part of building character. Matter of fact, working helps you to have a good rapport. A lot of times when you don't have a job, you kind of don't feel good because you don't have motivation to do anything. You know, I don't have to get them to go to work today. I just don't know what to do. You need something to do. So the Bible's talk about learn how to work, learn how to do things, learn how to care, learn how to take care, do things for people. So we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. So God is saying we need to learn how to do this. Joseph brothers took his coat and put on him. And then the last example we're going to have is the prodigal son. The prodigal son was a total concept of how to put off and put on. The prodigal son in the beginning had a home, had a father, had a place to stay. In the beginning, he had inheritance. But he said, Father, give to me my inheritance. And the Bible says he left and took his inheritance and went out into a far country and had a riotous living. So what he began to do was to go from a clean garment to a filthy garment. He began to go from light to darkness. He began to go from sin to being spiritually blind. He began to go from having morality to immorality, because his elder brother said he was sleeping with the harlots. He began to go from having a blessing, he had a blessing, to being a curse. From clarity to a blind misconception. From heaven to hell. So his story is a story about how he put on the wrong stuff. He put on the old clothes. He should have put on a new clothes. But that's not the end of the story. If you look at in Luke chapter 15, the Bible says that he went to a country, and when he lost all that he had, he was sent into the pig's pen to feed the hogs. And the Bible said while he was in the pig's pen, he came to himself. He said, my father has hired servants that live better than me. He said, you know what I will do? I will rise and go to my father. And I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So we see a picture here of a man who realized that he needed to get off that old clothing and put on new clothing. And the story goes to say that when his father saw him a far way off, his father went and told his servants. He said, my son is coming. I want you to put a robe on him. That robe was a picture of righteousness. He said, I want you to put a ring on his finger. That ring was a picture of ownership. He put on the new man. He said, I want you to put some shoes on his feet. The shoe was a picture of a covenant. So he said, I'm taking off the old stuff that he had on. I'm putting on the new stuff. And then he said, I want you to kill the fatted calf. He said, because this my son was lost, and now he's found. So that's a picture of putting off. That young boy who had lost everything he had to put off all those wretched clothes. He had to put off all that bad thinking. He had to put off all that wrongdoing and that disobedience and that rebellion, and he had to come home. And when he come home, he made that statement, I have sinned against heaven. So that's the first thing. Before you can get right with God, you got to make a confession that I've sinned. And the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man can come to Christ except he first admit that I'm a sinner. That old blind man was in John chapter 9. When God told him to go and wash his face, his eyes with anointing, and he came seeing. And the Pharisee there say, we don't know if Jesus is a sinner. That blind man said, one thing I don't know. I may not know if he was a sinner, but one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. He said, I know one thing. Then he said, I know God hears not sinners. But this man must be a worship of God, because God answered his prayer. So we need to understand that we need to put off the old man and put on the new man, just like this prodigal son. But watch out for the elder brother. Usually when you get saved, there ought to be a rejoicing in the church. But sometimes, I don't know what it is about that, some people don't rejoice. And so what happened was, when he got home, his elder brother began to have a little bit of envy and jealousy. His elder brother wouldn't come into the party. His daddy had to go out and ask the elder brother, said, won't you come in? And this is what he said. I've been with you all these years. I've never went out and messed with your money. I've never went out and slept with the harlot. It was a picture of self-righteousness. The elder brother still had on the old clothes. He had on the old clothes of self-righteousness. He had on the old clothes of envy and jealousy. He had on the old clothes of a low standard of God, and he could not forgive his brother. You go back to Ephesians. Ephesians said, 32 said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, one of the biggest things in the Christian family is we don't want to forgive. You need to learn how to forgive people. People will do you wrong, but who are you? Christ said, I have forgiven you for your sins. You ought to be able to forgive your brother for his sin. In our Lord's Prayer, we always say, forgive us our trespasses as we what? Forgive those who trespass against us. So we need to learn how to do this. And what we need to do, we need to learn how to put off the old man and put on the new man. The Bible said we need to be eager to live a Christian life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, For men shall be lovers of their own self, proud, unthankful, and unholy. One of the main reasons why the children of Israel never went into the promised land, it wasn't because they was murmuring and complaining, because they were unthankful. God had fed them for 40 years in the wilderness, and they still complained. God had made sure their shoes did not get old. God had made sure their clothes did not. God had kept them from all the diseases that was in Egypt. And when they got to the promised land, when they got to the edge of the promised land, they began to murmur and complain. And God said, we do not need a generation of murmurs and complaints. So God said, everybody that's under the age of 20 will go in, but everybody that's 20 and above will die in the wilderness. So we need to learn how to put off and put on. Put off envy. Put off jealousy. Put off lying. Put off cursing. Put off gossiping. Put off murder. Put off all these things we need to, and then put on righteousness. Again, I don't want to be a legalistic church. Everybody say, the church is legalist. No, these things you ought to do from the love of the Lord. When I got saved in 1986, then nobody had to tell me to stop drinking or stop smoking or stop running around or stop cussing. God, through the Holy Spirit, flooded my soul. And the Holy Spirit of God, I began to put on the righteousness of God. Amen? If you put on God, he will put on you. The Bible says, test the Lord and see, won't he open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive. So as we grow in this Christian walk, you have to begin to put on and put off. You have to put on, that old man will rise up every day. You have to keep, Paul said it like this, I die daily. Amen? You say, well, I don't get upset. Let me tell you, go out there and drive your car and let somebody pull out in front of you and stop without giving you a signal. And see, don't you get upset. You get upset like everybody else, but you need to learn how to put off and put on. We don't need to, you know, I told you about a preacher friend of mine. Him and this guy was having road rage, and he finally pulled his car over to the side, and the guy pulled over behind him, and they both jumped out, and the guy looked at him and said, ain't you the preacher? I saw you at the revival. And he said he was so embarrassed because he would say, well, I ain't no chump. Well, you don't have to be a chump. What you need to do is remember that there's people watching your life, and your life ought to exemplify Christ. You know, one of the things they say about children will tell you exactly what's going on in the house, you know. They say husband and wife will come to church, and they'll be fussing and fighting the whole way to church, and then they get to church and say, praise the Lord. And you ask the child, say, oh, they was fighting. She wouldn't even pass the ketchup to them at the breakfast table. So we need to learn how to put off and put on. We need to live a life conducive to Christian living. If I'm going to be a Christian, then I need to live a Christian life. People don't need to say you're a Christian because of what I said. They need to know I'm a Christian about the way I live. I mean, your life should exemplify the things of Christ. Jesus never did do anything contrary to the will of God. He always did those things that pleased his Father. You could never find a fault in Jesus because Jesus lived a life that was an example to us, and we need to live. And I give you two men in our clothes. Two men in the Bible that fell because they let the flesh get in. One of them was the meekest man that was on the face of the earth. His name was Moses. Now, Moses should have known that you can't let people get to you. But Moses, of all people, was meek. He had a humble spirit. But Moses finally got upset with the people because the people was complaining. They was always challenging leadership. And they asked for water out of the rock. And God told him, Moses, speak to the rock and it will give water. Well, you know the story. Moses got so mad with the people. Moses said, you rebels, you're always asking things. And Moses took the stick and struck the rock, and water came out. Now, God obeyed by letting water come up, but God made this statement, Moses, because you did not obey me, you will not go in. So Moses had a perfect example. He needed to put off his anger. He shouldn't have let the people get angry with him. The other man that I give you is Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon wrote, we know he wrote about 300 Proverbs and about 105 Psalms. He wrote, we only got 31 in the Bible and only one Psalm. But Solomon wrote in his teaching that you should never multiply wives or horses. That he wrote that. Then he put on that old man and began to get all those women from the other religions, from the other gods, And they end up turning his heart from God. And God ended up, Solomon died before his time. He didn't even live to be 70. So we need to learn how to put on the things of God and not let the world crowd us out. I think you've heard the sayings, hey, the devil would like to crush you into his mold. But what you need to do, you need to put on the armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. That's our study today. Would you bow your head? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the word of God as we looked at how we ought to be walking and acting like a Christian, how we ought to be putting off the things of the world and putting on the things of Christ. We saw a picture where Adam had to take off the fig leaves and put on the coats of skin. We saw a picture of Joseph, and we saw a picture in the Bible of how Esau and Jacob had to put on skins. And then we saw the prodigal son, how he had to take off those old wretched clothes that he had and put on the righteousness robe of God. Now, Lord, help us as Christians. Help us to take off the works of the flesh. Help us to take off the things that are wrong. Help us to do those things that will bring honor and glory to you. We have Jesus. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Help him to lead us and guide us. Help us to not grieve the Holy Spirit and not quench it. Help us to live a life conducive to Christian living. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Everyone stand to your feet. And as we think about this year, as we move forward growing in the Lord, think about the things that you need to put off, the things that you need to put on. Think about how we need to be a more loving church, how we need to be a more giving church, how we need to be a more forgiving, and we need to do those things that bring honor and glory to the Lord. We'll sing a song, I've decided to follow Jesus. I want you to just think about that in your heart. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just want to ask you a couple of questions and then we'll close. We'll get Brother Jennings to come and close in a word of prayer. You say, preacher, I understand I need to put off these things of the world and I need to put on the things of Christ. Pray that I would do that as God lead me this 2020. If that's your prayer, would you raise your hand? Thank you for those hands. Or maybe you need to get back in church, or you need to get into a church where the word of God is taught, and maybe you need to take the time to spend with learning the things of God. So whatever you need to do, you can come today and we can pray on this altar and ask to God to lead you in that guide. So we're going to sing a last verse, and Brother Jennings will come. Though no one join me, still I will follow.